Good morning, St. Michael's. Good morning. Great to be back. Before I say anything else, first I just want to say thank you for this sabbatical time that I have had, these 3.5 months of rest and renewal. Thank you for your generosity in allowing me to go. Thank you for the vestry and the staff and all the extra work they had to do in my absence, and especially thank you, Mother Julie, for leading everything so beautifully. I knew that I had left it all in good hands, and so it allowed me to truly rest and be refreshed, so thank you. And I've got so much to say to you now that I don't even know where to start. But I'll save the what I did on my sabbatical report for a forum later on, and I'll be sure to drone on and on and show picture after picture after picture so you really get bored. But really, what's insisting on expression right now is not so much the stories, but the deep truths that I feel like I was marinating in and ruminating on during these last few months. The truths that say that we are truly God's beloved children, an identity that is more important than anything else, that we are called and actually commanded to rest so that we remember that the world does not depend on us, that God's grace is there to be seen in every leaf, every cloud, every moment, that God wants us to find delight, and that as people of faith and as a community of faith, we need to live this and witness to this, because our world so desperately needs it. So I'm coming off a sabbatical, renewed and refreshed, and we all got an extra hour of sleep this morning, but I know many of you are tired. Some of you have been doing a lot of extra work to keep this church going while the rector was away, and now you're a little burned out. Many of you, many of us, have been trying to keep some level of productivity and normalcy over the last year and a half, but the crisis just keeps going and going, and we're exhausted. And all of us have been living in a kind of limbo since early 2020, and it's worn us all down. It's hard to have every plan marked with an asterisk, to have no firm expectations to count on, and to have this ongoing boiling up of hatred and strife in our country as well. So maybe the message of grace is what we are all needing on this All Saints Sunday. So All Saints is a baptism day, and we'll get to baptize today, beautiful Alana and also Daniel. Sheer grace in itself. All Saints is a feast day that is all about us, the saints, past, present, and yet to come. Yes, you. Yeah. Usually I try to make people realize that it's not actually all about them, but today it is. It's all about you. Today is All Saints because you are a saint. I am a saint. Alana's a saint. Daniel's a saint. Every single one of us gathered here are saints. It's our feast day. Isn't that marvelous? We are all in a great big stained glass window of color and light. Well, you might be thinking to yourself, that sounds nice, but I'm no saint. She's no saint. Saints are good, holy people. I'm a screw up. These people are irritating. No way are we all saints. And if I'd known I was supposed to come as a saint today, I really would have tried a little harder. I might have been a little nicer to my family this morning, or dressed up better, smiled at the bus driver. But I did just the opposite of all of that. Surely this saint group doesn't include me. And yet it does, because all these saints are made so by God, not by what we do. All of us saints are God's chosen, anointed freely by God's love. It has nothing to do with our behavior or our merit. God's people, all people, are called saints because of a designation of just pure grace, God reaching out her hand and touching your brow and saying, "You are one of my saints. You are my beloved, marked as Christ's own forever." And God wipes away all the tears from our eyes. As the prophet Isaiah says, we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting so that God might save us. And look, God has done it. We can rejoice and be glad. But maybe that just feels like words to you. Nice words, sure. But nobody ever really changes hearts and lives by just talking, despite how hard we preachers try. You can hear all the wonderful sermons in the world still remain the same, and I think maybe that's partly why Jesus, after all his preaching and teaching in John's gospel, he decides he needs to raise Lazarus from the dead, because the preaching and teaching has only got him so far. People have been listening, arguing, turning away, coming, going, undecided. It's time he provides an ultimate example of radical grace, something for them, for us, to see with our own eyes. And so the raising of Lazarus, such a powerful story. It's so vivid in all of its detail and emotion. Jesus, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, they're all friends. And after Jesus hears of Lazarus' illness, he comes, but not immediately. And by the time he arrives, Lazarus has died. Martha is furious. Mary is bewildered and upset. And both of them speak to Jesus as he arrives, and each in her own way shows that despite it all, she has faith that Jesus is somehow bringing life. And it's amazing, really, their power of faith at this time of such grief. But Lazarus doesn't show any faith. He's completely passive and silent. He is dead. He has been dead for days, lying there in the tomb, his body beginning to decay. And then Jesus rolls back the stone, breaks in on him there in the tomb, and calls him to life. And Lazarus obeys. He comes out, unbind him, and let him go, says Jesus. And others have to come and unbind Lazarus from his grave clothes and free him. And there he stands, alive again. But he never asked for this to happen. Lazarus didn't do anything to deserve this. He's a friend of Jesus, so he can't be a total jerk, perhaps. But otherwise, we don't know anything about Lazarus to suggest that he's some super saint or has some amazing sort of purpose that he's really needed back alive for, or that in any way he has earned this unique reversal of death. There's no reason why his being alive again is necessary. Jesus raises him just because. Sheer grace. A gift. A free gift. No strings attached. There. Now do you get it? Jesus says. I want you to focus on that for just a moment. Lazarus does not earn his resurrection. Jesus just raises him. You don't earn the title of saint. Jesus just calls you that. You are God's beloved child, just because. And that's the first and most important identity that you carry. There's a great poem by the poet Rumi, who was actually a 13th century Sufi poet, but he seemed to get something about Jesus. And the poem goes, "I called through your door. The mystics are gathering in the street. Come out. Leave me alone. I'm sick. I don't care if you're dead. Jesus is here, and he wants to resurrect somebody." Jesus wants to resurrect somebody. God is here with grace abundant, ready to pour out all over you. I don't care if you're dead. Come out and see this. Come and receive this life abundant. What does that look like? What does grace and resurrection look like? It might be like Lazarus, a great big miracle, a healing where none was expected, a healing from illness, maybe, or a healing of a relationship that seemed like it was damaged beyond repair. It might be peace that passes all understanding, right when you have every reason to fear. It might just be the way the sun shines through yellow leaves and turns the light gold just for a moment. Grace might be big, grace might be small. Grace is all over the place. We felt and saw it, our family, on our backpacking trip this summer. You can plan as much as you like for something like that, but you can never plan enough. And we found ourselves several days in with exhaustion and terrible blisters and low morale that made the long days so long, and the evenings as we struggled to rush and make camp and get dinner so bleak. And we realized we had to change our plans, but we didn't know how, because we had to be at a certain place at a certain time to meet a friend who didn't carry a cell phone, and we really couldn't reach him anyway. And so everything depended on getting there. We didn't have a car. The car was on the other side of the mountains. All we had was what we carried on our backs. So we hiked out for our food resupply and to see if somehow we could get some rest. And God just made it so. God opened up space to stay in cabins that we thought were all booked up. God sent a stranger to ask if she could give us a ride down the highway to the next trailhead. God even made sure that we noticed the one pair of boots in the store that would fit and relieve those blisters, and they were only available in the one size we needed. And there was more like this. We happened to be staying in those cabins during the only days of rain that happened along our way, and while there was quite a huge lightning storm striking along the trail, there was an episode of dehydration that resolved itself with some salt packets and some sport drink. No visits to the hospital required. That was a lucky thing. And we got to the end of the trail literally right as our friend was driving up with his truck to pick us up. And it just kept happening like this, thing after thing after thing. We began almost to take it for granted. It was all going to work out. And that was only the backpacking part of the sabbatical. There was more like this, over and over again, God seeming to take pains to say, "Trust me, I've got this. Not just on this trip, not just for this time, I've always had it. You're my beloved. Just delight. Just come on out and be resurrected." And none of this was because we are extra special or extra beloved, and none of it is because we had done anything to work extra hard and deserve it. All of it was really pretty ordinary, easily explainable, maybe. You could just shrug and call it coincidence or luck. And yet we felt this sense of being carried along with grace. And that is what God's saints are meant to enjoy. That is what we are meant to delight in. That is the good news. You don't have to deserve this grace. You don't have to earn it, or work for it, or prove yourself, or anything. It just comes. It doesn't depend on you. God just loves you. And God loves me. And God loves everyone. And we can rest in that. Isn't it marvelous? What a great thing to celebrate a feast over. So happy All Saints today, all you saints. Let's enjoy it. Amen.